Wonderful to be here. Every year I say the same introduction, at least the years that I speak here, commending all of you for being here. You're not mechuyev to be here. You're not obligated to be here. And even though we say that gadol shematzuva va'osev mi she'enu matzuva va'osev, greater is the person that's commanded and is mekayim. He's greater than the one who's not commanded and is mekayim. But nonetheless, I think this type of setting, I don't know if that necessarily holds true. I feel that for those of you that are not mechuyev to be here, you're not mitzuva to be here, yet you're here, there's no question about it that your level of steiging and your level of growth and the opportunities that you have during this time perhaps will catapult you to even greater heights than perhaps even the time that you're obligated to be here. So a tremendous Yashar Koyach and Emir Tzah Hashem, this should be mechazek each of you, and it should really be mechazek our yeshiva, because you are the Amudei HaYeshiva. You are the pillars of our yeshiva, and you're what maintain our yeshiva to greater heights of hasmada b'Torah and avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. So we obviously know that we begin Sefer Shmos this week, and the Torah transitions from the Avos and the Shvatim to Golos Mitzrayim, to Klal Yisrael's exile in the land of Egypt. And obviously we know it was a very difficult time where Paro had made edicts, and to ensure the continuity of Klal Yisrael, Amram and Yocheved didn't care and had a child anyways. And that child was none other than the greatest Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu. And obviously we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born prematurely, until finally they couldn't hide him any longer. So they made a teva, and they put this child, baby Moshe, in a teva. And the Torah tells us, "Vateitatzav achoso merachok l'deyam ma'yaselo vateirer basparo." And Basparo went down lirchotz al hayor to bathe in the river, v'na'arosel holchos ayad ha'yor, and the maidens went down with her by the bank of this river, v'teira es ha'teva b'soch hasuf, and she saw this teva, this ark, v'tishlach es ha'masa v'tikocheha, and she sent her, either her maidservants, or she outstretched her arm, and she took this child, v'tiftach v'tir'eu es ha'yeled, and she opened and she saw this child, vihine na'ar boche. And she saw that this child, this na'ar, was crying. Vatachmol alav, she had compassion for him. And she said, miyaldei hoi ivriim zeh, this must be a Jewish child. On a very simplistic level, the pasuk seems to tell us that she opened up the teva, and she saw this child, and this na'ar was crying. It was none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatachmol alav, she had compassion for this child, and she said that this child, Moshe, must be a Jewish child. However, the Baal HaTurim tells us that this is not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. The child that she saw and she heard was crying, and the child that she had compassion for, says the Baal HaTurim and others, it was not Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was Aaron HaKohen. She'aaron haya boche, that it was Aaron who was crying, pen yikra'enu ason hamayim. Perhaps something terrible will happen to Moshe Rabbeinu in the water. Some disaster will come upon him, and he'll die as he goes down the river. Umitoch kach, and because Bas Paro heard the crying of Aaron, this little boy Aaron, chemla olav, She had compassion for him, and she said that this child must be Miyaldei HaIvrim, it must be a Jewish child. Ask the Mefarshim, how did she know that Aaron was a Jewish child? How would she have known that? What gave her the indication? Why would she assume that this child, Aaron, who was crying to make sure that this little boy in this table was safe and well, how did she know that he was an Ivri? So there are different understandings. Perhaps one way to understand it is that Klal Yisrael was not Mishana der Malbush. They didn't change their clothing. He was dressed differently. However, there are others that suggest that when Basya Bas Paro saw that Aaron HaKohen was crying, Shirah saw Shehu Boche V'ze'echad Mehasimanim MiYisrael. When she saw that this little boy was crying to ensure that baby Moshe was safe and well, that was from the Simanim MiYisrael. She at that moment saw that this was a Jewish boy, Sheheim Rachmanim, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos that there are three Simanim of a Jew. We are Rachmanim, we're Baishanim, and we're Gomlei Chasadim. We're compassionate people, we're people that are Tzanua, and we are kind people. When she saw that this young boy had Rachmanis on that baby, and he was crying because he wasn't sure what would be of baby Moshe, she turned to her maidservants, and she said, this boy, Aaron, is a Jewish boy because he's crying. And therefore, let us go call an Isha Menekes that will come and take care of this little boy's brother, what will eventually become Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a tremendous idea. Bas Paro. She grew up as a princess in Egypt. Her father was a sadistic human being. Her father was perhaps the worst person in the world at that time. He was a Rasha Merusha, and the Egyptians were no better. She grew up as an Egyptian. She grew up among them for her entire life. And for her to be able to take a step back and acknowledge that her people are rotten to the core. Essentially, she was saying, our people, my people, would never have the compassion to cry for a little baby, would never be able to cry one sibling to another. Because we're so rotten at our core, it must be that this is a Jewish child and his infant brother. That's an amazing midah. For Bas Paro to recognize where she had come from, who she was, what her people were like, the ability to look inward and have recognition of oneself and to be able to appreciate their deficiencies or her deficiencies and say, I can't take care of this child. I am not a Rachman of what this child needs. Perhaps the most difficult midah to overcome is to be able to look in the mirror and say, these are my strengths and these are my deficiencies. Perhaps the most destructive thing or midah that a person can possess is to have an inflated sense of self, not truly understanding what our milos really are and what our chesronos are as well. Bas Paro, much to her credit, was able to look at Aaron HaKohen and say that our people are not capable of becoming like that. We would never cry for a sibling. We don't have the capability of becoming Rachmanim or Baishanim or Gomlei Chasodim. It must not be ours. Now think for a moment. You honestly think, take a sadistic person in today's time, let's say Saddam Hussein, or I don't know if many of you know who that is, but he was an evil dictator in Iraq, and he had two children. Do you think each of them or any of them looked in the mirror and say, we're evil? I can almost guarantee that every single morning they got up and out of bed, they would look in the mirror and say, we are for sure doing God's work. But that wasn't Bas Paro. Bas Paro had the uncanny ability to look inward, to look at her people, and to say, that's not us. We are not compassionate people. It must be that this child is a Jewish child with his little infant sibling. And that's a midah that Yaakov Avinu possessed as well. Last week's parsha, Parsha's Vayechi, Yosef came before him as Yaakov lay on his deathbed. And Yaakov turns to Yosef and says, Imno matzasi chen be'inecha. Find favor. Simna yatcha tachas yerechi. Place your hand by my thigh. And do for me kindness ve'emes al na tikmareni b'mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim v'shochefti im avosai, that I may lie with my fathers. You should carry me and bury me with them. The Medrash on this pasuk teaches us something fascinating. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Mikan yodea adam yom misaso leheichan hu holich. From this dialogue between Yaakov and Yosef, we learn from here that only right before a person is about to die, it's at that moment when he knows where he will reside in the Olam HaEmes. Im l'makom tzadikim, whether he will reside with the righteous, or whether l'makom shaharishayim, or in a place where the evil people are. By the fact that the pasuk says v'shachafti im avosai, that I may lie with my fathers, that was an indicator that I'm going to be in a place with tzaddikim, and only after that does he say, carry me and bury me with my fathers. Is this real? Could we honestly take this medrash at face value? That Yaakov Avinu only found out where he was going to reside in the Olam HaEmes on the day of his death, Yom Misaso? Impossible. Yaakov Avinu sat and learnt with Avraham and Yitzchak, and Shem Ve'Aver didn't stop learning for 14 years. It was only after he left the Beis Medrash Shem Ve'Ever did he take a nap. Im lovon garti v'taryag mitzvo shomarti. With lovon harasha, I lived and I kept taryag mitzvos. We're B'nai Yisrael, the father of the Shvatim. You mean to tell me that only he figured it out that he was going to be residing with the tzaddikim on the day of his death? The answer is that he didn't take anything for granted. He didn't make any assumptions about his tzidkus. He didn't have an inflated sense of self. He didn't make any assumptions. He didn't look in the mirror every day and say, "Wow, look how great I am." He didn't know. He actually didn't know. That's an ability to be able to look in the mirror and say that I have work to do. That there's more to gain. I can do better. And if Yaakov Avinu every single day is getting up and saying I can do better, there's more I could accomplish, I don't have an inflated sense of self thinking that whatever I've accomplished until now is good enough. If Yaakov Avinu, the one that said about him, Im lovon garti v'taryag shamarti, he didn't say about himself, he really didn't know where he was going to reside, whether he was a tzaddik or not, until Yom Misaso, then how much more so? How much more so any one of us? To have that inflated sense of self, to think that we're so important, that where we're at, we're just fine, it's great. That's not what it means to be a steiging yid. That's a destructive nida. That was Korach. Korach. Korach was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Korach was a Nosei Ha'aron. He was an illustrious person. He had pedigree of his own. But every day he got up and looked into the mirror and said, I'm good. I'm really good. I'm just as good as Moshe Rabbeinu. Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Kulam kidoshim. We're all holy. We're all special. We're all great. Why is he any better than I am? He's a Talmud Chacham. I'm a Talmud Chacham. He sits and learns. I sit and learn. He's from one shevet. I'm from the same shevet. He's chashuv. So am I. That's destructive. That's not a Yaakov Avinu. That's not B'nai Yisrael. That's not even a Basya, a Bas Paro. To have an inflated sense of self is perhaps the most destructive midah that a person can possess. Because by having that midah, it doesn't allow you to work on your midos. If a person thinks that he's perfect or perfect enough and he doesn't have to accomplish or grow, then indeed it doesn't allow him to grow. Because there's nothing lacking. Rav Chaim Kreisworth, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Eloi. He was the Abbezin in Belgium, split his time between Belgium and Eretz Yisrael. When he was a young married man, the war broke out. And essentially everyone from his town was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichrom. And there was one person, a wealthy individual, that before he was taken away, he gave a piece of paper to Reb Chaim Kreisworth when he was a young man. And he told Reb Chaim Kreisworth, he said, "I know that you're an honorable person. If you get out and you survive, here are all of my bank account records of accounts that I set up in Switzerland that if my children survive the war, you'll give them these numbers that they should be taken care of financially." And Kachave, the man, died. Reb Chaim Kreisworth survived. And for years, Reb Chaim Kreisworth was trying to figure out, to ascertain, whether that man had survivors in the aftermath of the war. And he couldn't find them. And it happened to be that one day he was in his Beis HaKnesses, 20 years later, and there was a beggar, as we see today, they come around with a pushka box asking for money. And Reb Chaim Kreisworth gave that beggar a few dollars. And Reb Chaim Kreisworth, the tzaddik that he was, asked the man how he's doing, and he asked him his name. And the beggar, this poor man, told Reb Chaim Kreisworth who he was, and Reb Chaim couldn't believe it. He was shocked. The name that he had told him was the last name of that man that had given him those numbers 20 years earlier. And he started to ask him more questions until he figured out that the man that gave him that petek, that piece of paper with those numbers, this was his son. Unbelievable. Reb Chaim sat him down and said, "My dear Yid, you're not a poor man. You're actually an extremely wealthy man. Until now, you've been begging for a dollar here, a dollar there. Now, you're an extremely wealthy individual." Now, in this man's situation, he thought he was a beggar. He thought that he was a lowlife. He thought he was a low yutzlach. And indeed, he was a wealthy individual. He had it all. By us, we think the opposite. We think that we're wealthy individuals. We think we have it all. We think we've accomplished everything we need to accomplish, perhaps a little bit more, but that's perhaps begeder. She'eino mitzuva. I'm not mechuyev to do it. But really, perhaps, just maybe, we're actually paupers. To have an inflated sense of self is the most destructive midah that a person can have. Have a good night.